The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Our expanded news coverage continues, and we head out to the great State Fair of Texas.
People started taking selfies with Big Tex as soon as the gates opened and say they've got the routine.
Come and get here early. And then, we eat Fletcher's.
I love it. It's fun. Watching people and going to the car show and all that. And Big Tex, of course.
One guy says he's 82 and comes with his wife every year, but he started coming back in the 60s even before he was married.
About every day. Everybody come out here. It's a beautiful day.
Another woman says she lives in California, but she grew up in Texas, so she and her husband brought their kids back.
I'll be honest, I was a little emotional seeing Big Tex because it's been a long time, and it's nice to bring the kids to it.
The State Fair Classic will bring crowds for the game at the Cotton Bowl this weekend. Then the Red River Showdown will pack Fair Park with Texas and OU fans in 2 weeks. At the State Fair of Texas, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, with crowds streaming into the State Fair, the Fletcher family is ready to serve a million corny dogs. William Fletcher says people will drench those dogs in 800 gallons of ketchup and 4,000 gallons of mustard.
When I was a kid, we only had mustard out there, but then people started asking for ketchup, and now we have ketchup out there too, but it's obvious which the winner is. But to each their own, you know? I mean, if you want to put ketchup on it, go for it. We'll sell you one.
You know, we were talking about this in the newsroom, and some of our guys were out there early this morning, and that was like their breakfast was a corny dog, and I was like, man, they should have syrup as well.
That would be awesome.
That would sound so good. But, you know, William Fletcher says one of the things he looks forward to is his parents telling him how they ate corny dogs as kids, and now they're buying them for their own kids.
Well, the Cowboys get a much-needed win against the Giants.
Cowboys are 2-2 on the year, but will be without defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence and linebacker Micah Parsons for several weeks. MRIs revealed Lawrence is dealing with a foot injury, Parsons a high ankle sprain. Both are expected back after the Week 7 bye. Owner Jerry Jones says while the win was ugly last night,
we're improving now. That's hard to do when you have a couple of outings like we had against the Saints or Baltimore. But we're putting things in the storehouse as the squirrels for the nuts in the storehouse that are going to be paying dividends for us this winter.
Nut house and squirrels, huh? Cowboys have 10 days off before their next game on the road in Pittsburgh. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Speaking of football, Friday Night Lights tonight. And don't forget, it's Friday Night Football Night here on KRLD starting at 9:30. Game day with Jeff Ward looks at college football matchups all across the state. And our statewide coverage of Friday Night High School Football is starting at 10:30 here on KRLD.
In other news, Medical City Plano is expanding.
Four floors will be added to Tower C at the hospital. The Dallas Morning News reports the $76 million project will feature two floors dedicated to patient rooms and two reserved for future use. The expansion will also include three rooftop helipads. The hospital is Collin County's only Level 1 trauma center. The project also means more jobs for the region once it's completed in 2026. From the 24-Hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texas Supreme Court upholds a Collin County judge's decision at 4. Forces the city of Euless to pay death benefits to a fallen police officer's widow. The city claimed that Officer David Hofer didn't get formally married when a shooter killed him 8 years ago, but a probate judge found because they had been engaged, had kids, and been living together for 5 years, they could be considered legally married.
The Collin County Sheriff's Office still has not made an arrest in a July murder, but KRLD's LB Phillips says one man has now been booked for tampering with the victim's body.
The Sheriff's Office says 65-year-old Mark Horick was at the scene July 31st when the body of Olotoyosi Malono was discovered. The 33-year-old had been shot to death. It happened at a house on Billy Mitchell Drive on the far west side of McKinney, next to the Arrow Country Airport. Investigators say Horick tampered with a corpse, which is why they arrested him. Now they're asking for the public's help in solving the murder.
Either you know something about Horick or maybe the deceased, anything leading up to it, if they were acting in a specific way, if possibly Horick was out and about, spoke with people, any information will help us out in it.
Sergeant Jessica Pond says Horick is being held on $350,000 bond for the corpse tampering charge. They have not named any suspects for the murder. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Hurricane Helene makes landfall in Florida Panhandle overnight as a Category 4 storm, but it didn't just stop there. It kept rolling up through the Georgia area into the Carolinas, also causing just devastation. 45 deaths or so are now attributed to Helene at this point, and just millions and millions of dollars in damages. Let's go to the Carolinas. We're joined by the news director from WORD Radio in Greenville, South Carolina, Lee Rogers. He is on the KRLD news line. Lee, thank you so much for the time. How are you guys holding up?
Right now, pretty well. A lot of us still don't have power. In fact, we're looking at about 1 million customers still without power in the western two-thirds of the state of South Carolina. Very hard hit here in the upstate. We've got Greenville County, one of our most populous counties, with about 94% still without power. Spartanburg County, 98% without power. Anderson County, where I am, 83% without power. And there's no word yet from Duke Energy, who's the main provider for most of the power in this area, as to when that is going to be back on. So it's going to be a long, dark night.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you explain just what the experience was of having Helene move through your area last night?
Absolutely. As I was coming into the radio station, I do the anchor the morning news with the Tara Servatia show here on our station. And as I was coming in about 4:30, it was already getting windy. The pickup truck I drive, I could tell it was being moved around a bit, but not too badly, and some pretty significant rain. But about 6 or 7 is when it really moved in, and we had extremely high winds. We had sustained 30 to 40 mile an hour winds with 60 mile an hour gust and some greater than that. Torrential rain, about 6 to 10 inches of rain has fallen over the past 12 to 18 hours here. And it was just amazing because we had so many reports of flooding, trees down, power lines down. And it is just amazing because it's so widespread. We're used to seeing some severe thunderstorms or maybe the remnants of a hurricane or something coming through the area where we do see some rivers or streams that flood. But this was so widespread across a vast portion of South Carolina. It's just amazing. And sadly, we apparently have got about 17 people that have died in South Carolina. And most sadly, a couple of them were a couple of volunteer firefighters from Saluda. But most of the fatalities appear to be just simply people who were died when trees fell on their vehicles or their homes.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that areas like the Grand Strand have been used to hurricanes coming through, and it's always a fact of life in South Carolina. But again, how different was this storm than any other that you'd seen before?
Well, it was the approach, because usually we see things coming from the Atlantic through, you know, you expect it to hit Charleston, Hilton Head, Myrtle Beach, that area. But this obviously coming up from the Gulf through the Panhandle through southern Georgia and up into the upstate of South Carolina was an unusual approach for us. And the speed at which it came, it was moving about 30 miles an hour still when it was moving over Georgia into the upstate of South Carolina and into western North Carolina. But just the intense rain and wind was something that we usually don't see in this part of the state.
Yeah.
I was around for Hugo, so I lived through that. But that was about the last one I can remember that was that severe.
Wow. And, you know, you were giving us an update on the power outages, but I can only imagine, as you mentioned, with the flooding and whatnot, that just to get the roads back into, you know, drivable conditions, how long do you think before the city can really get a handle on that?
For the city, it really shouldn't be that much of a problem. Our problem is the counties and the rural areas, because that's where so much of the damage is, because our area is such a spread-out metropolitan area, because it's basically Greenville and Spartanburg and Anderson and Easley. And that makes up what people refer to as the Greenville area. And it's just a really broad area, so there's so many secondary and state and rural roads where there are so many tree-lined areas that trees have come down, that have taken down power lines. I've got half a dozen trees out in about an acre wooded lot behind me that are down. I've got trees down on my chain link fence here, ruined my fence. I had to clear limbs out of the way just to get to work this morning and then to get home later today.
Yeah, Lee, we feel you. We're about 300 miles from the Gulf Coast ourselves, and when Galveston gets hit by hurricanes and stuff, we just feel the remnants of it as well.
Yeah.
Lee, thank you so much for taking the time
thank
to
you.
Chat with us, and please stay safe.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
That's Lee Rogers from WORD Radio in Greenville, South Carolina. North Texas' own Sky Elements hopes to break a Guinness World Record for the biggest simultaneous drone and fireworks show. They're making this attempt in Mansfield tomorrow, Right now, a South Korean company holds it, and Guinness is sending a rep to verify everything. The show starts at 9. You can be able to see it all around Mansfield Sports Park. A few streets surrounding are going to be shut down. Police are going to be there to help direct traffic. Just last week, Sky Elements made it to the finals at America's Got Talent, and they finished in third place.
Well, the top-ranked Texas Longhorns are 5 touchdown favorites in their first ever SEC game.
The Horns host the beat-up Mississippi State Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon. On Longhorn Weekly, head coach Steve Sarkisian hoped for a great defensive effort.
Defend the run, make them a little bit more one-dimensional, disguise some coverages, create a little bit of pressure, but also create an environment with our fans that can be one that can be difficult.
Arch Manning starts at quarterback for the Horns again. Pregame at 2, kick at 3:15 on Saturday on KRLD. From the 24-hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And don't forget, the Friday night football tonight starting at 9:30. Game day with Jeff Ward looks at the college football matchups in Texas and our statewide coverage of Friday night high school football, 10:30 right here on KRLD.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.